He looks impressive in his one-piece sky-blue cold Asian uniform with the gold epaulettes of a Corinthian commander. Yes, we are indeed honored to have him aboard this station with his crew and the Corinthian. We feel so much safer in his presence. I hope that they will pay this station a visit soon with a new fleet of Corinthians. We hope to make contact with you again so that you may hear Valdar tell us more of the exploits of these new craft. We must now close as the Byraean craft responsible for the relay must continue on its journey. We can't delay them any longer. We thank them for relaying this transmission. Melka to Q base, farewell. When Kashendo's voice faded away, the receiver was silent for the next 40 days. Chapter 7, A Planet on Her Knees. Very few people on Earth knew about the Goldonian War. Those who did were members and friends of the Confederation Q groups in many countries, who were kept informed of these events by circulating copies of tape recordings of transcripts of the transmissions. Did Edwin's group have the advantage of being located in the town chosen by Weora and his assistant Valdar during their training on Earth? Was it purely accidental that Edwin had more than a casual acquaintance with Valdar, who was later to command a Cold Asian fleet? Although communication with Colders during the war was very erratic, they nevertheless went to extraordinary lengths to keep in touch with Edwin's Q group. By Earth's standards, it is a complete mystery as to why they behaved like this. Today, however, there is a strong hint that future planetary events will make these actions more readily understandable. It was Valdar who came through one evening late in May, May 30, 1970, with the latest news of the war and the casualty list. In a solemn tone, he said that Goldonia had struck a double blow at Colders. The one directed to the south was obviously a diversion which drew a substantial part of Colder's main astral fleet. Goldonia then launched their main attack in the north, using a new weapon which turned out to be far more deadly than the guided missiles. They dropped thousands of containers filled with a potent virus. Yes, said Valdar gravely, Colders has indeed been brought to her knees. As soon as the plight of the northern towns was realized, thousands of craft were sent to evacuate the people from the stricken area. But as fast as people were evacuated, the faster the virus spread. Many died in agony before they could be rescued. Water and food became contaminated, causing many more to lose their lives. Vast numbers of the dead had to be hurriedly buried in mass graves. Then, not only was the virus alone in killing our people, but other diseases spread as epidemics. Clearly Valdar was deeply moved by the horror of the latest attack on his planet. After Goldonia had dealt this terrifying blow, they transmitted a message to the people of Colders. This was the first time that they had communicated at all since they attacked. The words were in the Coldasian language and warned that all Coldasian towns would be subjected to the same treatment if Colders did not surrender immediately. Valdar continued saying, you will recall that the last time I spoke to you, I was on my way to Byron. When I returned with the division of Corinthians, we set out immediately to continue the search for Goldonia. Our craft eventually found the planet which has brought us so much grief. We attacked three large cities which were completely destroyed. I think that Goldonia launched the virus attack in retaliation. It is now blow for blow. And many innocent people lose their lives. But Goldonia should not overlook one vital point, and that is, by attacking one planet in the Confederation, they are in fact taking on all the other planets too. Byron has already responded when they heard of our plight by dispatching 15 Byraean Corinthian divisions to assist us. At present we are awaiting their arrival. There will be a total of 4,075 craft in all when the whole fleet has assembled, and we shall then strike Goldonia again. We either win or lose. With the aid of the Byraean divisions, I feel that Goldonia will have little chance of surviving such a massive onslaught. Commander Weora has been put in charge of the fleet and will lead the campaign. I will be his second in command. It is remarkable that Valdar had such confidence in Edwin's Q group, that he could send such vital information on the eve of a major operation. Wasn't this a grave security risk? How about the possibility of outer world agents among Q group members? Anyway, He ended the radio transmission by expressing the hope that he would soon announce the end of the war. He also conveyed Wei Aura's good wishes to all Cubase members. Note: actually the Cubase reception was quite well protected. The communications came in on a narrow beam of discrete frequency aimed directly at the radio from above. The messages were closely guarded by the group and sensitive information was not released outside a trusted few until later. Then, just as he was closing down, he was interrupted and said, "We have just received an urgent message from Melka. It grieves me to have to tell you. It has now been confirmed that both Mang Tun and Kul have lost their lives in battle over Calder's. During the last attack, they and many other gallant commanders were killed, and the toll of this last vicious attack is still rising." On that grim note, Voldar ended his transmission and was gone. 4 days hence, D-Day came for Galdonia, and Edwin and everyone were on tenterhooks. What was the outcome of the battle? What would be the consequences for Earth if the Confederation were defeated? On June 14, 1970, more reassuring news came in the form of a relayed radio broadcast from Melka. It was an on-the-spot communique from the surface of Galdonia relayed by an advance Caldasian outpost. On top of that came the news that Wei Aura had been injured in the battle. An unfamiliar voice, not previously heard by Edwin's Q group, started the recording by saying, "The transmission you are about to hear is a strata recording which has been made on the planet Galdonia. I have asked the commander who is receiving this on Melka to transmit this to you whenever it is possible to do so." Then another unfamiliar voice said, "Greetings from all Caldasian and Byraean personnel here on the surface of Galdonia. We have good news for you. A large part of Galdonia is now in the hands of Caldasian and Byraean forces. Although many centers are still occupied by Galdonians, our forces have seized vital and strategic key points and the main communication centers. At last the tide has turned in our favor and good progress has been made in this futile and senseless war. Communications have been re-established with home and a flow of messages is now being exchanged. The Caldasian ground forces here on Galdonia are being reinforced by more astral divisions and a battle is about to commence on and above the terrain. 3/4 of the planet has already been taken, but there is still a mountainous region which stretches across the equator. It is difficult for Corinthian craft to maneuver here and it is tough going for the large ground forces using land vehicles." The speaker continued to give his impressions of the surface features of the planet. "Most of Galdonia consists of vast wastelands and burning sand where temperatures soar to unbelievable heights during the day. Never," he said, "had he experienced such scorching conditions before as on this bleak planet. Although there were some wooded regions, in part, very dense, the planet was largely desert. Their sun had plummeted below the horizon. As I am making this recording," he continued, "it is dark. To my left I can see the glow of many fires in the distance. Another town has been attacked. In the dark sky, I can see blue-white lightning bolts striking unseen targets. These are sunray weapons being fired from Corinthians. Each time I see a bolt flashing, and there are innumerable bursts, I shudder, wondering how many people are losing their lives. For there is a tremendous disintegrating energy in one of those bursts. And Galdonia has very densely populated cities. It is a sight I had hoped I would never witness. Fortunately," he continued, "the majority of Galdonian cities have surrendered and there are only a few left still offering some resistance. Losses on both sides have been heavy. Many of our Corinthian craft have been lost as well as other Caldasian craft which went down in deserts. But Byron, the gallant planet which came to our aid, has suffered the heaviest losses on the Confederation side. I feel deeply sorry for all those who will never leave here. How much grief and sorrow this accursed planet has brought to Calder's and the whole of the Confederation. For Edwin and the Q members, this eyewitness report from the surface of the aggressor planet was of immense interest. Particularly as there had been more than a hint that their greed and aggressiveness with its accompanying moral degradation had surreptitiously contaminated many planets in the systems which had human life within them. Meanwhile, the communicator making the report painted a bleak picture of conditions affecting the Confederation forces. He was speaking from a position which was dug in the white sands of the vast desert. From this position, many of the sorties of the Confederation land forces were made. At intervals, they would leave in the direction of the remaining pockets of resistance. The stifling heat, the dragging gravitational load, added to the torment. The rapid sunrises, immediately bursting forth radiation which reflected from the white sands of zenith, turned the desert into an oven with a blinding glare. There was uncertainty about the two allies supporting Goldonia. A few strangely shaped craft had been seen, but so far no determined effort had been made to reinforce Goldonia in its struggle. The Confederation kept an adequate task force in reserve in case the Goldonian allies decided to attack. The speaker described the unfortunate crash of Weora's personal spacecraft. 2 days ago during a raid, Commander Weora's division encountered a larger-than-usual force of Goldonian craft. Our commander's craft was repeatedly struck by rockets, which forced him to return to base with severe damage. We watched his craft approaching and it seemed that he was having control problems. He passed the base and brought his craft down in the desert. But it came down with such force that there was an explosion throwing it over on its transparent dome. Smoke poured out of vents and hatches as they were thrown open. Damage control vehicles rushed forward in an attempt to save the personnel and the craft. 3 crew members were killed. Commander Weora was fortunate to escape from the wreckage of the observation dome, which was demolished in the violent overturn. The communicator continued by expressing his deep concern for their popular leader, who had to be evacuated to Colders. He had escaped with only a leg injury, which at first did not seem so serious, but later was found to be much worse. In the meantime, Volda had taken over from his old mentor and was in charge of operations on Goldonia. In closing his report, the speaker added a few more personal observations. "What a forbidding world this is. It is indeed the strangest planet I have ever set foot on, and the Goldonian way of life is very odd by our standards. Their dwelling places are cramped, overcrowded and rectangular in shape. I have seen no double-storied buildings at all, and the building methods appear to be very crude to me. There is an oppressive atmosphere over it all." And with these last words, the message, relayed from Goldonia, ended. For the next fortnight there was no further news. Edwin and his group were hoping to hear more of Weora's progress, although it seemed that his injuries were not too serious. Then one afternoon a brief message came through his receiver. "I am from the moon that orbits Byron. I have been instructed to inform you that 3 days, 3 of your Earth days from now, you will receive a transmission from Melka. 3 hours after your sun has set you shall receive a transmission. I will close now, people of the planet Earth. I am a Byraean pilot." On July 1st, the transmission came as promised. It was a personal message from Weora himself. He seemed to be his old self. He started off with his usual greeting, full of charismatic charm. "I am Weora. Greetings, my friends. It is wonderful to contact you all again, although this time it is by means of a strata recording. Here I am, sitting beneath a beautiful tree in the garden of my home on Colders. We have a large garden and there are trees and flowering shrubs. The grass is green and the birds are singing. It is a lovely day here, and as I look out I can see a lake with a picturesque island not far out. I am recuperating from injuries to my leg." Judging from his voice, he seemed to be all right.